Hello, it's great to have all of you back with us. As you know, we have just covered the contents of chapter 16 in the last episode. So in this one, we're going to do an overview to see what the message that is contained in chapter 16 is for us. Sister Denise is with us in the studio and she is sharing her experience of the true depth and meaning of chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita. Sister Denise, welcome back.
Thank you.
First question, what is the message that is contained in chapter 16 for the reader of Srimad Bhagavad Gita?
To me, the most important message is the comparison of, on the one hand, the hedonist who is totally materialistic, which is really the way people are in the world today. And then on the other hand, you have the person who is very spiritual, very pure, with a very subtle consciousness, who is paying attention on his karma. And it's a real big difference between the two kinds of people, the demon type people and the pure ones.
Sister Denise, if one is a sincere child of God, and you read this scripture with full sincerity, with the aim of becoming it, and if you're honest with yourself, if you read chapter 16, most people will find character traits of the demonic as well as the divine personality within themselves. We took this up in the previous episode. Now, what happens when you realize that you have more of the dark side than the light side? And what if you score too heavily on the dark side, as most people will, because it's the Iron Age? What happens then?
Well, I think that you really, if you're going to be looking at the Gita anyway, it means that you are interested in the spiritual side. And so depending on how self-critical you are, if you're very self-critical, you will find that you don't have a chance. But on the other hand, if you say, well, okay, I come to terms with the demoniacal aspect of my personality and I will fill myself with spiritual light through my connection with God, then the darkness will be melted away. That's really the thing. I think we have an enormous amount of choice here.
I see that the word hell is mentioned in verse 21. This is the threefold gate of hell. Now, Sister Denise, for many people, hell is a place and heaven is a place. Whereas if you look at it through the lens of what is contained in verse 21, it appears to me that hell is an experience here on earth, as is heaven. How does one go about creating heaven for oneself here on earth using what is contained in chapter 16?
It's quite interesting. There are many people, especially in India, who believe that those who have fortune, they're in heaven, and those who have misfortune, they're in hell. And sometimes you actually see in India a boundary wall, and on one side of the wall is a palace with people really enjoying a beautiful life, and on the other side of the wall, street people who are absolutely miserable, and there's just a simple wall between them. And so the idea of hell and heaven coexisting. But I think also if you look at it on another level, you can see that in terms of the incarnations and reincarnations, you know, at this time you have choice what kind of karma you will do. If you take the energy, the light from God, you can make really pure karma and you can actually be an instrument or an agent for change so that the whole world actually changes for the better. And if, on the other hand, you stick with materialism and negativity, then you'll be an agent for maintaining the status quo. So there's a bit of a war between the two kinds of people. And you're looking at yourself. Do you want to go to hell or do you want to go to heaven? It all depends on how you conduct yourself.
Mr. Denise, When one has to make an objective assessment of one's personality, which of the powers that you mentioned in earlier episodes comes into play here?
Well, of course, it would have to be the power of discrimination. Because, you know, you may judge yourself too harshly. You may be too lenient on yourself, in which case you won't have an accurate self-assessment. So a person who has a good power of discrimination, who's really detached from the self, you just want to know the truth about yourself. You're not trying to, you know, deceive yourself one way or the other, but you really need to know where you are in order to know what you have to do in order to become what you want to be.
So Denise, many people hold the view that the way they are is the way they will be for life. You often hear people say, so-and-so is like this, they've been like this forever, they will never change. Many people feel doomed. They feel that they are locked in by their own personalities. They cannot see a way out of their own darkness. They're aware of their darkness, so is everyone else around them, but they cannot find their way out. How do you crawl back out of the hole that you yourself have dug for yourself? There are millions in this category.
Yeah. I know, it's very true. To me, it's not really a question of crawling out of the hole by your own energy, because I don't think you have enough. What I feel the way that works is that you have to patiently, one step at a time, sit in remembrance of God. Because for every moment that you sit in remembrance of God, you're taking light. And the only way to remove darkness is to bring in light. You can't, you know, try and push out darkness, because darkness isn't a thing. Darkness exists when light is not there, because light is something. Darkness is where light is missing. So I think it's just simply a matter of just having faith and knowing that just drawing the light of God into myself and really with deep sincerity putting oneself in the hands of God, this is the way that you can actually create a different result, a different destiny for yourself.
Mm. So Denise, you know, this may be naive, but I don't think anyone wakes up one day and decides, gee, I'm going to be a demon, okay? And then doesn't go about creating qualities that are contained in chapter 16, stubborn, self-conceited, hypocritical, egoistic, forceful, angry, etc. Haters is the word that's used, okay? It happens because, that is destiny, and also because the soul loses power. And the weaker we become, the more these dark traits emerge.
But there's another reason also. When a person experiences different kinds of traumas, especially early in life, your reaction to those traumas may be initially some coping mechanism, but this really becomes the character defects that you have enumerated. So it's really about acquiring a different relationship with the bad things that have happened in one's life. Because normally one is not neutral about it. One is resentful, one says, okay, if this happened to me, then it justifies me being aggressive, and so on and so forth. And that's a way that people will logically compute their situation. But once you learn about spiritual knowledge and you start to actually meditate and take light into yourself and get a different angle on your past and on yourself, then you can start to actually make a difference. But without studying spiritual knowledge, you won't be able to change your processes of logic.
If you become aware that you have ugly qualities under whose influence you no longer wish to be? How do you go about on a step-by-step basis to no longer express yourself in this way? Let us look at a practical example. If somebody is aggressive, and being aggressive means that you have anger, usually rage, and you either act this out physically or you're an emotionally violent person. How do you cure yourself of this malady?
What happens for people is something will go terribly wrong in your life. You may inadvertently do some really bad damage, and that will shock you into thinking, oh my goodness, what have I become? And something like this can actually trigger a person to really reassess themselves and think, you know, how did this happen? I have to take responsibility for this. And then the person will maybe be watching this program or start to expose themselves to some spiritual information, and then they can get what they need to know and then start practicing what they need to do to come to a different state of being.
When one has to take that which is contained in chapter 16 and put it into one's life, to get over your trauma, do you only need spiritual knowledge, or do you need other type of assistance?
Of course, it depends on the intensity of it and so on, but there are a lot of people in this world who are really quite damaged and who have passed through really quite bad experiences, and so they may need some medical, some psychological help. And a lot of people are actually looking for that. And I think that once that part has been taken care of and a person is in a position to be a bit healed on that level, then they may say, you know, now I need to take it further. I need to go into the spiritual dimension. And that would be a good thing.
So Denise, I'd like to take you to the last verse contained in chapter 16, verse 24, which reads, "Therefore, determining your standard by the scriptures," determining your standard by the scriptures as to what is and what is not to be done, knowing the scriptural injunction prescribed, you should perform action here in this world. I like the way God throws down the gauntlet and says, this is what I am saying to you. And I sense that he's giving the reader a choice. I get the impression that the ball is now in our court, if you're willing to hear the message, because a very detailed description was given of what is a good character and what a divine character and what is a demoniacal character. The chapter ends on this note, and I like the words that are used, a scriptural injunction, which is a religious ordinance of sorts. Okay, so the ball is very clearly placed in our court, is it not?
I feel that on one hand you have everything that's in the scriptures, which anybody has access to. On the other hand, there is your personal connection with God. And here you have God talking. I think if the scriptures were enough, there wouldn't be any need for God to talk, because it's already in the scriptures. So I would say that what's happening here is Arjuna is listening to God speaking to him very intimately, very personally, and having to decide how he's going to interpret it, what it means, how he is in the midst of all of that. I would say that this last stanza, which draws our attention to the scriptures, puts us in a slightly ambivalent situation. Because if you look at the full spectrum of the scriptures, you can find any quote to suit how you would prefer to go. And in a sense, that is giving us a very important choice. We need to choose what standard we want to operate by. But I also feel that if you say, okay, well, according to the authority of the scripture, I am permitted to do this, that, and the other, or I am forbidden to do this, that, or the other, you have an enormous amount of leeway. Whereas if you look at the parts where, you know, God is exactly telling what is good and what is not good, I think it's easier to work with that than look at a very large spectrum of different instructions that you get in all the different scriptures.
So if one then is determined to ameliorate the position in which you currently find yourself, I want to become a better person, I want to heal from my past, I want to develop a closer relationship to God. How would determining your standard by the scriptures, by this particular scripture, assist you?
I think in this case, I'm not going to be looking at this as a scripture. I would be looking at this as a conversation between you and God. We talked from time to time about the experience of being in communication with God. You see, I think in many ways the different scriptural injunctions apply to somebody who can't come into communication with God. So maybe the Rajasic people would need that. But if you are a sattvic person and you're really connected with God, this is going to awaken your most refined intuition, and you will know through your conversation with God, or through Arjuna's conversation with God, because it's been spelled out very clearly. You don't need to go anywhere else.
Can I ask you to give more detail about one's conversation with God in this context, where you're still interested in healing? Share more about that. That's extremely interesting, what you just shared.
Here is Arjuna speaking with God, God speaking with Arjuna, which is a sort of template of your conversation with God. Because if you're going to have yoga with God, that means communion with God, communication with God. So definitely there's a conversation involved in that. And I think that one of the ways in which God works is to give you signs and signals. And when you're very subtle, or in very subtle consciousness, you're close to God, you're able to pick it up. And there is where you have to start to trust your heart, trust your inner voice, trust yourself. Of course, there will be verifying and checking to see that you're not totally off the wall. But at the same time, if you start going to lots and lots of different scriptures, you'll get every possible recipe and you pick the one that is easiest or more difficult. But you'll see also in later chapters of the Gita, there is a whole injunction against doing over extreme austerities, you see. So there's that. So I think that keep it simple is ultimately better.
Keep it simple. Yeah, Sister Denise, I see we have come almost to the end of today's episode. This particular chapter was a mirror to me by which one could measure oneself. Has that been your experience as well?
Yes, I think so. Just being asked to really look at these two sides of yourself, and even seeing humanity. Some people are operating on the basis of their light side, some totally on the basis of their dark side. And I think that we are being asked to make a choice. and to take the consequences of that choice.
Okay, thank you. So we're about to say goodbye to our viewers. Would you like to leave them with any last words at the end of chapter 16?
Well, I would say that throughout the day, everybody experiences different ethical dilemmas. And whenever you find yourself in a situation like that, just sit with yourself for a few moments and say, well, am I going to operate from the demoniacal side, or maybe the people involved or the circumstances involved in your situation are themselves on the demoniacal side, but on what side are you? Are you being really true to your pure spiritual nature? Are you able to be detached enough to not be reacting and get caught up in the negativity that may be around you, so that you're able to be absolutely proactive and operate from your highest, purest nature?
I hope those of you who are at home can feel what I'm experiencing right now. There's a lot of silence in the studio, and I've had this experience before, that when Sister Denise speaks from the space that she is now, God is present with us. And I hope that you are able to feel His presence where you are at home. Sister Denise has shared in chapter 16, when we did the discussion on the text as well as the overview, that within each individual there is a dark side and a light side, a good side, and one should be careful about not judging oneself too harshly, to look at yourself fairly, and irrespective of what you have done in the past and who you have been, you can improve the quality of your life and become what is called in this chapter, invoke one's divine destiny. And Sister Denise has very clearly shared that this is not something that you do alone. You need divine assistance, and by that she meant the presence of God. So to include God in your spiritual journey, in your own upliftment, and He will reciprocate your feelings on the grounds that you yourself do it with sincerity. So Sister Denise, thank you so much for what you've just shared.
Thank you
for your time, and thank you for joining us. And I hope wherever your religious or spiritual practice takes you, I do hope that you experience success. Do take care, and thank you for joining us. Goodbye.